Blog Talk Radio.
This is Leslie, and we're here tonight with Mr. Everett Stanton of Philadelphia's Black History Showcase. Are you on the line, Mr. Stanton?
I sure am. Good evening, Leslie.
Oh, I'm doing good. Good evening to you, too. Happy
Thank
holidays.
You. Thank you, and happy holidays to you and the Black Talk family as well.
Okay, great. Let's start off by introducing yourself to the family, letting them know why you decided to come on the show and talk to us.
Okay. I produce special events. That's basically been my background. And in the early years, they were basically entertainment-based events. And I wanted to do something that had some substance to it, as, you know, something that would be educational as opposed to just entertaining, because there's so many entertainment events. So we started looking at the on the premise of history as being the basic knowledge that nourishes self-respect, and the more one knows and understands about their history, the greater the impact on their self-esteem and racial pride. So in 2004, we created the Black History Showcase as a way to promote a greater awareness and appreciation of African-American history. And I was never one that was very interested in history in school for, you know, a number of different reasons. You know, it for the most part, it didn't include us unless it was slavery. And when it did include us, it, you know, we were the bad guys, or so it just didn't appeal to me. And it was basically mainly politics or war.
I got a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction to Roots the first time you seen it?
Well, I remember we watched it as a family, and I was glad to see that we had there was something on television about us that had a different presentation about us, if you understand what I'm saying, as opposed to being I always felt that we were portrayed as docile and ignorant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad that, you know, I look forward to watching Roots, not only because it was with our family watching it together, but because I think it showed us in a better light than what I was used to seeing us portrayed.
Did it generate or evoke any interest in history after you watched it?
Honestly, no. Not like I did when it did hit me, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
When I got the bite, I was really bitten.
Now, what bit you? What happened? What was the catalyst?
Okay, like I said, I was, you know, maybe some of the Blog Talk family may be familiar. I was one of the managing partners of Black Expo USA that used to travel around the countries. We did 18 cities. And initially, when we started, it was an economic development type of event where we had all Black exhibitors, and we had, you know, people come to the convention center to support, you know, the Black businesses. And, you know, that was the concept initially when we started in New York. And then to get, you know, more people to come, you know, we added entertainment. And the entertainment stepped up as the record labels start realizing that we were a good event to showcase some of their new talent, or someone had a new CD coming out or something like that. So the emphasis had, you know, like I said, really went from economic development to entertainment. Well, I was in Los Angeles, and I was coming back from a meeting. I was at the end of my day, and I stopped by. I was driving by, and they had this African marketplace in the schoolyard, in a high school schoolyard. And I stopped, and they had a big tent, and the tent said Black Inventors Museum. And it was an exhibit that a sister from Los Angeles, who was actually from Jersey, her name was Valerie Robinson, and she changed her name to Sister Salah Shabazz. And she had an exhibit of close to 100 replicas of different items that Africans and African Americans were credited with inventing. And that was the first thing that hit me. It was, wow, this is something that we never learned in school. A lot of the basic things, you know, like the light switch and the pencil sharpener and folding cots and different things like that, that, you know, everything that we use every day that were invented by us, but we never knew that. And I think had I been taught a lot of these things when I was younger in elementary school, it might have encouraged me or inspired me to make a better mousetrap, you know, as opposed to thinking that everything in the world was invented by someone other than an African American. And that's just the things that we got credited with, because there's so many things during slavery that you couldn't invent, that you couldn't take credit for anything. And,
right.
And the slave master might have got it. So I was really thrilled with this, you know, and I said, you know, I'm gonna talk to this sister, and I'm gonna, you know, bring her with her. I was out in Los Angeles because we were bringing the Black Expo to Los Angeles, and I said, well, when we come to Los Angeles, I want to have a space for her to present this at during the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met her husband. She had went to get them something to eat. So he said, she'll be back in a few minutes. And so I said, okay, I'll just wait over here. And I stood back and I watched the people that were just, you know, looked at the faces of people that were walking around, and people were, you know, in amazement. Some people even, you know, you saw them crying because they just swell up with pride, you know, and just, wow. So anyway, so she came back and we connected, and she became a part of Black Expo. And that was an introduction to history. That's the first part. When I live in Philadelphia, and so when we brought the event to Philadelphia, I had contacted. There were seven surviving members of the Negro League Baseball Philadelphia Stars, and so I contacted them, and I contacted some surviving members of the Tuskegee Airmen, and I set them up with a space at the event. And when I just watched and listened to these gentlemen, you know, tell their stories, and you know that you're getting the story firsthand from their lips to your ears.
Right.
And you know, that's, you know, you were getting it pure. It was the pure truth that was coming. And that's by someone who was there. Not that's even, to me, that's even better than what's the new thing, the embedded journalist.
Okay.
And a war, you know, to have a Tuskegee Airman tell you what it was like to be up there flying those missions, you know, to tell you what it was like when they were telling you that, you know, you couldn't be a pilot because first off you weren't smart enough, and then you know, you didn't have the courage and different things like that. And then there comes a time when the white pilots are asking to be escorted by them.
Right.
You know, and just
will they be at this year's?
Oh yeah.
Showcase?
They're every showcase I do now. The thing.
What
about
Miss Robinson?
Pardon me?
Miss Robinson.
No, the Black Inventors Museum will be there, but Sister Salah, she passed a few years ago from cancer, but her adopted son has been maintaining the museum, which is a traveling museum, by the way. It's called the Black Inventors Museum, but it doesn't have a stationary location. It travels around to different events, and it will be there also. And the Negro League players also will be there, and you know, they have some great stories because some of these guys played with Jackie Robinson, you know, and they can tell you stories about playing in the old Negro Leagues, you know, when they couldn't go in the front door of a restaurant.
Well, my favorite ball player from that era is Mr. Leroy Satchel Paige.
Oh yeah,
he tried to start his own league.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, he's arguably one of the greatest pitcher of any color that ever played the game. You know, a lot of folks that competed against him said that he was without a doubt the greatest pitcher that they had ever faced, and keeping right along with that, let me tell you what another exhibit that we'll have right along in the sports, which every year we have a topic. Okay, the event. Okay, how we promote this greater awareness and appreciation? We feature a diverse mix of educational exhibits and activities that we say we use real objects, real people, and real stories to accurately present the extraordinary achievements and events in our history. So that includes slavery, Black inventors, military, We had somewhat entertainment. We had a Dorothy Dandridge exhibit one year by a young lady, who lives in Maryland. Because, see, most of the exhibits are comprised of memorabilia from individual collections that have never been shown in a museum. And these are people who have a passion for that particular subject, such as the sister who had the Dorothy Dandridge exhibit. But now, with the topic for 2010 is the history of blacks in sports. Now, we still have the slavery, our slavery suite, and we have our black inventors suite, and we have our military suite. But, like I said, but for 2010, it is the history of blacks in sports. Now, we have an exhibit that a brother put together, and it's called The History of Blacks in Hockey. And it goes back to the Colored Hockey League in Canada that was operating during slavery. And the players, for the most part, were slaves who had escaped to Canada on Underground Railroad. And people, I mean, we had photos of this, of these guys in uniform, you know, team photos and playing hockey. And see, people did not know that. You talk to folks today from the Professional Hockey League, and they did not know about the color.
You know
hockey.
What I had? I was told about the Hockey League.
What?
I was told that African Americans that was escaping from slavery invented the skates because they had to travel on the river, and they would always skate during the wintertime while the river was frozen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was the means for escaping.
Okay. And now,
so I'm not surprised. You're the first person to tell me about the team and the league, but I had been told that we invented those skates for that purpose.
Okay. Well, then you won't be surprised to know that the original Underground Railroad was the river.
Right. It was. Yeah. I've seen a documentary about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that takes me to another exhibit. Okay, that will be there. That is the.
Before you go to the next exhibit,
please
give out your contact information, your website, everything, before you go on to the next exhibit about the Underground Railroad.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The website is Black History Showcase. .org.
And your name?
And it's Everett Staton. And all the information is on there. The email and
the date of the event?
Yeah, the date of the event and everything. The directions will be there. But to tell you, it's February 13th and 14th. It's at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, which is located in downtown Philadelphia. And it's absolutely free. Okay, it's always free. Now,
Get back to what we were talking about as far as the skating, the black hockey.
Back
just a little bit.
Okay, well, it's from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. We have an exhibit called From the International Swimming Hall of Fame, which is located in Fort Lauderdale. And it is called Black Splash.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
Okay.
That's
it. And it is the history of blacks in swimming or aquatics, if you know, as they like to call it. And it goes back to like 1451.
1451.
Right. 14. It's done in periods. 1451 to 1699, and then 1700 to 1865, and then 1866 to 1945. I'll give you a little sample. 1451 to 1699, swimming was an African tradition, and Africans were known as expert watermen and the best swimmers in the world, okay? And they were the ones who, taught the colonists maritime skills and more efficient and effective ways to hunt whales and catch fish and crabs and clams and things like that. And it said that they earned, you know, great fortunes for their owners by harvesting the pearl beds that were down, you know, in the ocean. Then you go on to 1700s when they believed that only 20% of whites knew how to swim. So it was considered a national epidemic, if you will, or that they came out with a program that encouraged whites to learn how to swim, okay, because they were drowning, you know, and before I get to that, so when we're talking about the being the first underground railroad, by the plantations being a lot of plantations were located near the water. And so they could move their crops by boat.
Nice.
And by slaves being such great swimmers, a lot of them would just go ahead and make a break for it swimming. So it came to pass that the slave masters wanted to forbid the slaves from being near the water unless they were loading a boat. Okay, so now could this possibly be the first time, you know, that we started this? Okay, stay away from the water because you could get whipped, killed, punished, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, punished for not killed because you were a commodity, so they wouldn't kill you. So now you fast forward, whites got into seeing what the benefits of swimming, where they learned to swim and the benefits of swimming, and then they was created the for whites only beaches. And it was said, I can't remember the year, but there was a riot, and I think it was in St. Louis, but they said that might have been the first actual civil protest prior to, that was before Rosa Parks, when the blacks rioted in St. Louis because they wanted access to the beach because they were not allowed, you know, because it was whites only. So, I mean, it's so interesting because now, I don't know if you know, we had an incident in Philadelphia this past summer where a summer camp went to a private swim club. They had all, this was agreed upon. You know, it wasn't like they just showed up. And it was a white private club. And it was an African-American. The majority of the other day camp members were African-American. And when they went up there and got in the pool, all the whites got out. And then they told them that they couldn't come back anymore.
Gave them their money back.
Well, yeah, they gave them the money back and everything, but then that's when you know, got national attention, and actually they're actually filed bankruptcy now. They're going out of business. But I mean, we're talking about in 2009 that these folks did this same situation. But it was so interesting, and so now we have Cullen Jones, who's the Olympic champ, right? Exactly, the Olympic champion and world record holder in swimming. But we don't have that. We went from being the world's best swimmers to hardly being in the pool, and it kind of gives you a timeline, and whereas it may not come right out and say that this is why. But, you know, if you don't have access to water, you're not going to be swimming too much.
Now, will Cullen be at the event?
No. Cullen will not be at the event that I know of. Cullen is definitely welcome to be there. But, you know, one of the things that happens that's unfortunate in a situation like this is some folks have honorarium that we just can't handle being a free event.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
yeah, if they have agents and managers,
right?
You have to
right,
pay all those
right,
people.
Right, right. Now, if I could call Cullen on his cell phone and talk
right.
to him, maybe we could get him to stop by.
Wouldn't it
you
be
know?
Wonderful if I had the type of audience that he would be listening and somebody would call him right now and say,
yeah,
call
him? That would be great because, like I said, the Tuskegee Airmen, oh, we have Buffalo soldiers surviving murder. I'm talking about, you know, members who just joined, which is what they have to do because every time one passes, you know, when I first started with the Negro League players, there were 7 of them. We're down to 4 now. Okay, the Tuskegee Airmen have opened up their membership to people who have an interest in aviation, so that their legacy will always be told, which is a great idea.
It sure is.
But
now, are you videoing these? Are you videoing these events and documenting all of these people that you are showcasing?
Well, we video. Not in that sense, because see, that's another situation. You know, whereas. You know, you have to get rights, you know, to video folks, and a lot of times that gets into once again paying a fee. Now, what they will allow, which I prefer personally, is that these gentlemen will let you come up with a camera and take a picture with them, with no problem.
But we can't get their stories. If I had my camera and I wanted to record. You know, a snippet of their life.
You know that's on a per or that's probably on a per case, you know,
okay.
Situation. You know, for you to explain to them, you know, because you know some folks come there from the media and say I'm from the media, and you know I'd like you to you know I'm filming this, and I've seen them say yes. I've seen other people say no, I don't want this filmed.
Okay.
You know, but I've never seen anyone that has said. You know, I won't take a picture with you, you know. And like I said, like we had the Buffalo soldiers. I was making a point about the Buffalo soldiers. When these folks are sitting there telling their stories, they're loving it too because people are really interested in what their experience was. Whereas when you remember when they came back, no one cared. You know, it wasn't even written about. You know? So that's the part of it that is so special. Like I said, we have real objects, which are, you know, the memorabilia, like our slave exhibit is provided by the Museum of African American Slavery, which is Lest We Forget. And it's the most extensive collection of slavery artifacts and Jim Crow memorabilia and information ever assembled for public examination free of charge. And it includes shackles, branding irons, photos, documents. We also have from Somerville, California, Somerville, South Carolina, an exhibit of, you know, and this is dealing with slavery. When you see pictures of slaves a lot of time, you see them with gardening tools, you know, working in the field like a hoe or a shovel or something. So this couple in South Carolina, they call their exhibit Not Just a Hoe. And the reason why is because their exhibit features furniture, pottery, and textiles that were handcrafted by slaves. Okay, and these items were made and used on, many of the plantations throughout South Carolina. And it basically demonstrates or illustrates the design, intellect and craftsmanship of slaves. And this couple, they are antique collectors and get called by some of these folks who have these large estates and plantations in South Carolina to ask them to come clean out this building down yonder. You know, and they go down there and they're finding these different things. Have you ever heard of a pie safe?
No. What is a pie safe?
A pie safe is a piece of furniture that is like a credenza. Okay, and it has screens in it. And what you do with it is, you open the doors, you bake your pies, and you put your pies in there and shut the door, and the screens are in there, and it keeps your pie safe from the flies and the bugs.
Oh.
So it's called a pie safe, you know, and it's built by slaves.
Now, how many exhibits do you, it sounds like this is a very large event.
Well, yeah, that's why I said the convention center.
Right.
And, okay, so we got the Museum of African American of Slavery. Lest we forget, we got not just a hoe from South Carolina. We got the Black Inventions Museum. We have a brother who's bringing the Granville T. Woods exhibit, and you know he was considered to be the Black Edison. This is a brother out of New York who works for the Transit Department, and Granville Woods. A lot of his patents were dealing with. Mechanical inventions that were critical to rail transportation. So he took an interest in Granville T. Woods, and he created this exhibit. He'll be there. We have a brother who went to Tuskegee University, and he created an exhibit about George Washington Carver. And he's out of Washington, but he'll be there with an exhibit about George Washington Carver. As I mentioned, the Tuskegee Airmen, they're there, but they also have an exhibit, photos of their different, you know, of them back in the day, and about the history of the Sky Warriors. That's what we call them. The Buffalo Soldiers will be there with the exhibit. We have the United
Quick
States.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
How do you find all these great people?
Well, you know, now a lot of people contact us, you know, because this is our sixth year of doing this, and people have contacted us because, like I said, when we first started, it was just the slavery and the Black Inventors Museum. That was just only two. Oh, I'm sorry, and the Tuskegee Airmen and the Niggerly Players. Those are the four components of the Black History Showcase. The first year we did it. Then after that, people start contacting us saying, look, you know, I do this, I have that, you know. And, you know, we talked, and then I would go, we'd meet. They either come to Philadelphia or I'd go where they were and see what the exhibit was to make sure it was something, you know, that was credible. And, okay, the other folks we have the United States Colored Troops reenactors that will be there, and they do performances, you know, reenactments. Okay, we have, I don't know, are you familiar with the Belmont Mansion Underground Railroad Museum?
Yes, I am.
Here in Philadelphia, they'll be there with information about the Underground Railroad
activity. Is this their first year?
At Belmont Mansion. No, this will be their third year.
Great.
For being there. Okay, and now, so going, and that's just part of the overall general exhibits. But with the history of blacks in sports, we have an exhibit from the International Tennis Hall of Fame and Museum, which is in Newport, Rhode Island. And they have an exhibit called Breaking the Barriers. And it is about, it's a tribute to the American Tennis Association, which was founded in 1916, I think it was, and it's a salute and tribute to black tennis pioneers prior to Althea Gibson. Okay, then there's another exhibit called Groundbreakers, Sports Heroes and Sheroes, and this lists some of the names of people that we're really not familiar with, like Marshall Taylor, who was, he was the black Lance Armstrong. He was a world champion cyclist years and years ago that people didn't even know about. We have with some of the other folks. Althea Gibson is part of that. They have her down there. Chuck Cooper, who was the first black to play in the NBA. Willie O'Ree, who was the first black to play in hockey league. And I think it was Oliver Lewis. I'm not sure. I think it's when the first 14 years of the Kentucky Derby, the first 13 out of those 14 years, a black jockey was the winner. Now, you can't even find a black jockey or a black at the Kentucky Derby dealing with the horses. You know, it's hard to find, I shouldn't say you can't find one, but to know that the first 13 out of 14 winners at the Kentucky Derby were all, you know, black jockeys.
Okay.
Then we have a Negro League baseball exhibit. Okay, and this is from a gentleman here, the Burnett Collection. He has all this vintage. That's what he just did, collected all this vintage equipment and different things because he's just a Negro League fanatic, you know.
Will your vendors or presenters have items for us to purchase?
Well, yeah, some will. Some will. Yeah, some will. Like say the Negro League players, they have autographed balls and stuff like that. Okay. Tuskegee Airmen, they have books about the Tuskegee Airmen that they will autograph and people can purchase. We have an area that we call the Black History Store.
Okay.
And that is comprised of exhibitors or vendors. It's like a marketplace. But what makes ours different is everything has to be history related. Okay, like there are folks sometimes that are there that have black history books. Some have T-shirts with different black history things on. There's a lady in Washington. She has black history action figures. Matthew Henson and
wow, I never heard of that before.
Right. They're there every year.
Is there a list on your website of all these people?
No.
And their contact information?
No, we do not have that up yet. That's the one thing we don't have up yet.
Just in case we need to know.
We will try to get that up. We will try to get that up before the event, sometime, possibly by mid-January, hopefully. There are exhibitors there that will have different history items. You know, we also have an exhibit about black women in sports, and that's provided by the Black Women in Sports Foundation. I tell you about the history of blacks and swimming. We have an Althea Gibson exhibit, which is provided by the Althea Gibson Community Education Tennis Association here in Philadelphia. We have a gentleman who wrote a book called The Games of Tennis, an African-American journey, a gentleman named Bernie Chavis, and his book is about breaking the racial, his experience in breaking the racial and cultural barriers. He was the first African-American to serve as the president of the United States Tennis Association, so he, you know, talks about his experience.
We're down to the last 10 minutes. Can you give out your contact information once again?
Okay.
Go ahead.
The way to reach is www.blackhistoryshowcase.org.
And you are?
I am Everett Staton, and there is information there. Pardon me?
The event will take place when?
February 13th and 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's a Saturday and Sunday. And the event is absolutely free, and we encourage people to come, and especially to bring the children.
That was my next question.
You know,
are you being received by the school systems and the churches?
Well, the school systems love it, but it's on a Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, we have some charter schools this year that are making it like there's an Association of Afrocentric Charter Schools here, and I think they have one Saturday a month is a school day. So they're going to make it that February 13th, and the assignment is the school day is a trip to the Black History Showcase. We're doing an interview that's going to be on the school district television network, cable network, and, you know, telling folks to come out and bring their children. in the past years, we've sent information to the board, and they've sent it home with the students. But, you know, he said that's, you know, this is something that would be great, you know, if it was during the week and they could do trips. But then that's not as easy as it sounds either to get the trip. This is something that parents, you know what I'm saying, need to bring their children, you know,
okay.
and experience that, because when a child has questions about certain things, you know, about the slavery maybe or whatever, it is good, I think, for the parents to be there to explain to them, you know what I'm saying,
right,
or answer their questions, as opposed to having someone else who you may not agree with their explanation.
Right. Now, will you be also showcasing food, African American food?
Nah, we can't do food because when you go to the convention center, that's a contract situation. I mean, it's a, you know, they have food concessions there.
Right.
Excuse me. Not. I mean, how can I say that? Like ARA, mm-hmm. Aramark is the official food provider,
okay.
at the convention center. Now, we don't set up concessions for folks. We don't have them set up concessions because because they're so high.
Right.
You know, and
you're keeping it free. It's free.
Pardon me?
You're saying it's free, so you're trying to keep all the costs low.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. And
okay.
and right across the street from the convention center is this place called the Reading Terminal, which it has food from all over the world.
Okay.
And that's the place to go, where everybody to go. Actually, I think they did a survey, and the number one place that's visited in Philadelphia is the Liberty Bell, and the number two is the Reading Terminal.
Terminal. How do you spell it?
R-E-A-D-I-N-G.
Oh, R-E-A-D-I-N-G.
It's spelled like Reading, but it's called Reading, like Reading,
oh, okay.
Pennsylvania. The Reading Terminal.
That
and
was my next question.
What's that?
Leads me to my next question. Who are your main sponsors, and who do you want to show, give gratitude, show your gratitude for sponsoring you over the last 6 years?
Well, Colgate-Palmolive has been with us from the beginning. Colgate has really been there. We've had people that have been in and out, like Philadelphia Electric Company has been with us from the beginning. And basically those are the folks that have been with us for
okay.
the most part. And
any local merchants?
Well, not really. No, not really. Oh, I'm sorry. Comcast Cable has been with us. Community College of Philadelphia, I'm sorry, has been a sponsor, or is a sponsor. I mean, we're getting more interest. I have some Fortune 500 companies that are looking at it now, but there's sensitivities when you start dealing with slavery. There's sensitivities from corporate people because a lot of these major corporations made money. Well, first off, public relations wise, people try to stay away from slavery because everyone knows how wrong it was. Okay,
right.
And a lot of these major corporations you can trace back to slavery. Okay,
right.
There's a lot of wealthy people in this nation right now who we know their money came from being major slave owners. And I'm not saying all. So there's certain taboos that you stay away from.
Okay.
You know, so I'm saying, so us having.
Well, I didn't ask you that to validate your organization by saying you have Fortune 500 companies. I admire the fact that it is so grassroots,
mm-hmm.
and I just wanted you to give, a list of people that you want to say thank you to. But I think the more you can do without, their help says a lot about you and your resourcefulness.
Let me mention to you. We have mm-hmm. categories that we don't even approach, like sin categories. Like you'll never see a tobacco company or a spirits company, right, sponsoring the showcase.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be people that are serious about this and understand, you know, what we're doing. And that's why I say, like I said, we don't charge people because I know museums have to make money you know, to cover their overhead. But
right.
our history has been denied us for so long. And not us, just people, period. So we feel that it would not be right for us to say, we have all this information inside here. Give us a dollar or give us $5 and you can come in and you can learn. Because education should be free anyway. Because all education benefits everyone.
Right, right.
You know,
now,
so
have you ever thought about having a film festival or a performance? I just went to a Neil Hurston performance in New York.
Well, what we have is we have a theater area where we show documentary films during the course of the day, and I should have mentioned that. But we have an area, and we'll show like this year we have a film about the Negro Leagues where it's called Only the Ball Was White, and we have one about. What are the other ones that we have? We have one, My Slave Sister, Myself, that a young lady did about the effects of slavery on women and even, you know, today's woman. This is from her eyes. So we have that area, the theater area. And what we do, well, we haven't been able to confirm yet, but we have a speaker such as Dr. Malefi Asante. One year we had George Frazier, who was a motivational speaker, but we usually have a speaker, and I'm not at liberty to say right now because it's not confirmed.
Right.
But that's part of it, and that's free too. You know.
Well, I hate to tell you that the show is over. But I want to have you come back closer to the day of the event to promote it again.
Well, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. And
I will be there. I'm
have,
a little disappointed that you didn't call me and ask me to be a part of your showcase.
How do I find these people?
Right.
We met through David.
Right, David.
Am I right?
Randall T. Woods.
Right. Here we go. See?
Yeah, I will be there. I will be there with bells on. And I just want to give you a compliment, pay you a compliment for being so thorough and knowledgeable because when we talked earlier on the phone, you mentioned that you weren't a scholar and all these things. Well, you could have fooled me. You did an exceptional job. I just couldn't get a word in because it was just flowing from you. And I want you to feel comfortable. And you did a wonderful job, and I look forward to having you back on.
Well, I thank you, and I was always told that when you can flow like that, it must be coming from your heart.
It certainly was. I said, let me let him go because you were just naming all these people from different sports areas, and so it was amazing. So,
well, and I'm happy that you're going to be there because that's the most important thing is the gratification comes from seeing the people come and interacting with each other and seeing this many people. And we have a growing number of non-African Americans that come now, too. Mm. You know?
You're going to find that to be the case.
Pardon me?
That will be the case.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So once again, thank you, Leslie. I really appreciate you and giving me this opportunity to speak to the Black Talk family. And I hope, you know, all you have to do is call me and I will make sure that I'll make myself available.
Okay. And before you go, have you interviewed with any other Blog Talk hosts or shows?
No.
Well, I strongly advise that you go on the blogtalkradio.com website and start looking for people.
Okay.
And that's one way that you can get a lot of exposure because I'm a very small show. But there's other people who have been on for a year, year and a half.
And that's the Blog Talk Radio.
.com, blogtalkradio.com.
Okay.
And one gentleman's name is Jerry Butler.
Okay.
His name is Jerry Butler. He has a show. He's on like every night, I think four nights a week at least.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a strong following. So I will put your name out there and your email. I'll send a blast out.
Okay.
All right?
I definitely appreciate that, Leslie.
Anytime.
And you know what? We'll even have to talk about you coming down and presenting because Actually, you might want to. You're still selling your books, right?
I sure am. But yeah. I want to enjoy this year.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, when you come down, look at it from the. I mean, because this is what, like I said, most of these things are the exhibits are private collections. But
right.
What has happened is the showcase has provided a venue and an audience for people to share, and in some cases to sell. But you know, but to share their exhibits, because if you are a home collector, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know now it's unfortunate, but you can't invite. The only people that get to see your exhibit are your neighbors or your in-laws.
Oh.
I mean, or your relatives. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? How many years are they going to keep coming over your house and you keep saying, "Oh, did you see my slavery collection?"
Right.
You know, because you can't have strangers come. So what the showcase does is it provides a public venue for people to come and see private collections.
Well, I'm going to try to gather as many little relatives as I have, my little nieces and nephew.
There you go.
And drop them in the car and try to get down there. I will be there. I'm not going to try. I will be there. I don't know how many kids I'll be able to bring, but I'll be there.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And you know, you're definitely welcome, and we'll make sure that we connect.
All right.
Okay.
And have a happy holiday, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Leslie. You do the same.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.